Welcome to the Biohacking Beauty Podcast, the top-ranking anti-aging skincare podcast brought to you by Young Goose Skincare, a company devoted to unlocking youthful skin at the cellular level, ensuring real and lasting results. I'm your host and CEO of Young Goose, Amitai Eshel, and my aim is to simplify the journey to youthful skin aging. In each episode, we'll be providing you with expert strategies to help you biohack beauty and reverse the biological clock for both your skin and your body. So get ready to rediscover a more youthful and rejuvenated version of yourself. So in this episode, it's going to be a solo episode. We are trying to provide you with some building blocks, if you would, of what it means to have a deep understanding on the skincare and the age reversal mechanisms we can apply topically. And we're going to try to have a shorter bonus episode every week, kind of diving deep into some kind of mechanism. So we're going to be talking, you know, a lot of the times we're going to be talking about ingredients that we use in Young Goose skincare because we, at least in our eyes, we are the leader in innovation in the field. So a lot of the time we're going to break down why we're using a specific ingredient. But fear not, even if you're listening to it in a country that, you know, Young Goose is not available, or if you are just not a fan of the products, you have your own products, these insights are normally easily applied to any regimen that you might have. Yeah, so if you haven't done so yet, we are asking you to leave a review and a rating, preferably on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening to this episode. Even a one-word review is super, super appreciated since it lets us reach more people and improve more people's lives. Now, without further ado, let's talk about today's subject, which are neuropeptides. I think it's important to understand that a lot of skincare companies nowadays are throwing around the word peptides. And before we get into what neuropeptides are, very shortly, peptides are basically short amino acid chains that your body uses as communication molecules, or kind of a lock and key mechanisms to which your body uses them to activate or deactivate certain pathways, certain actions in the body. And neuropeptides are that, mainly around synapses, around neurons. That is why when we're talking about skincare, we're going to have a differentiation. Rather than some peptides are going to be used more to promote collagen production, other ones are going to be used to maybe unlock a certain mechanism like senolytic activity, which eliminates senescent cells, like that there is a pretty famous brand that have claims around that these days. Neuropeptides are working on the contraction ability of muscles in the skin, not dissimilar to what Botox would be. And we're going to kind of take a look at how they do it right now. So how do really neuropeptides work? So one famous peptide that we use, for example, is called argyrelin or acetylhexapeptide 3. A few other famous ones are SNAP8. It's also used in eye care, for example. Lufacil is another one. Matrixyl 3000 or Matrixyl is going to be another one. We're going to touch on it in a second. But neuropeptides normally have a muscle relaxation mechanisms. That's their main mechanism. And they function by mimicking the, I'm going to get a little scientific here for those who are interested, and we're going to move on. So it's mimicking the N-terminal end of the SNAP25 protein, which is essential for the successful docking and release of neurotransmitters that cause muscle contraction. So by inhibiting the process, these peptides reduce the strength of muscle contractions, softening the expression lines and preventing the formation of new wrinkles. So they do it by limiting movement. They're very interesting because we all know what Botox does. It freezes the muscle, whereas these peptides do not have the ability to do that. But what they have the ability to do is not create or to limit repetitive movement. So if they exhaust the same nerve, the same contraction much, much faster, which would allow us a few things. First and foremost, it's going to allow us to have a better appearance because our muscles are not contracted in the same fashion all the time. They contract less. So active wrinkles, crow's feet, 11, wrinkles that normally we target when we target Botox are less apparent. When we use Botox, are less apparent because of the same kind of reason. So they're like a mini miniature Botox. The second thing that they do that is very interesting is preventing the formation of new lines, new wrinkles, because the way that wrinkles form is not some complex biological mechanism. It is literally like you would take rubber and you're going to just bend it in the same place over and over and over again, or a flexible plant. You're creating a groove, which the material, in our case, the collagen matrix, just bends in the same place over and over and over again. And you're starting to break that collagen matrix. You're starting to create permanent marking on it. That's different from, for example, stretch marks, which is a tear of the collagen matrix. So here we're just basically creating permanent mechanical change. So if we can prevent the skin to fold consistently over and over again in the same place, we can prevent some of that wrinkle accumulation. And we can also support other mechanisms. So a less known fact about, that's why I'm going to reach the conclusion now, a less known fact about neuropeptides is that they support collagen and elastin production. So we've spoken about collagen and elastin before, but collagen and elastin are the structural proteins responsible for the skin's elasticity and firmness. They are the qualitative portion of the skin. When we see a young skin, that quality of bending, of bouncing back into place, that is imbued by abundance of collagen and elastin. Neuropeptides, to a small extent, can stimulate fibroblasts, which are the cells that produce collagen and elastin. But more than that, our skin creates collagen all the time. Our skin creates elastin all the time. It is true that it creates less when we age, but it is still something it does all the time. So by offsetting the balance between damage, because you're incurring less damage, repetitive damage, to repair, we can actually increase the amount, or we can support the production and the deposition of collagen and elastin. A few peptides that are specifically beneficial when we're talking about stimulation of collagen and elastin and fibroblasts are matrixyl. And not to be confused, for example, with matrixyl 3000, but matrixyl and matrixyl 3000s, they both do it. They stimulate the matrix molecules, for example, collagens, fibronectins, elastins, that support the skin structure. So enhanced production of these proteins lead to firmer, more plump skin that appears more youthful. So that's, again, we're talking about first and foremost, we have a better appearance of the skin, but it actually, the benefit there is less accumulation of wrinkles. There is the support of collagen deposition and building new collagen matrices and repair and some stimulation. Matrixyl does it better, but it is not as good in suppressing muscle contraction. That's why it's a peptide that I specifically like less, or peptides that I specifically like less. So another thing that is very interesting with neuropeptides is that they can dampen or regulate inflammatory responses. So chronic inflammation, unresolved lingering inflammation, can accelerate skin aging. It actually has a name. It's called inflammaging, which leads to wrinkles, loss of elasticity, loss of or increased laxity. Neuropeptides, to some extent, especially when working together with other peptides, can help modulate immune responses in the skin, reducing unnecessary inflammatory reactions. For example, certain neuropeptides can decrease the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines or signaling molecules, which are molecules that signal inflammation, leading to a protection of the skin from inflammation-induced damage. That includes also inflammation that drives uneven pigmentation and It also, as I said before, it can also play very nicely with other peptides. So, for example, and not a neuropeptide, but a very popular peptide in skincare is called copper peptide 1, copper tripeptide 1, or GHKCU, as people who are into like injectable peptides would know it. So GHKCU, when we apply it on the skin, it actually does very little on its own because it stimulates the deposition of collagen, but when we move our face, this collagen is broken down. It's not very effective on its own. But combined with neuropeptides, for example, Lufacil, Argyrelin, what we can see is an effect that is a synergistic, and we can see better collagen deposition, better accumulation of collagen and elastin. And since they help GHKCU also kind of fight chronic unresolved inflammation, we can see again a supporting function there. So a lot of the times they're not going to be working on their own. So it's not something that we want to look for as part of a symphony of ingredients rather than a solo instrument, if you would. Another interesting anecdote about neuropeptides is their strengthening of skin barrier. So the skin barrier is the outermost layer of our skin. Some would say it is actually outside of our skin, but it acts as a shield against environmental stressors. So neuropeptides can influence the production of ceramides and other fatty acids, which are crucial components of the lipid matrix of the skin barrier. So you can think of it as the production of sebum, of oils that go to the surface of the skin. They're not going to make you oilier, but it actually helps the kind of the reaction. So if the skin needs more oils, it is going to produce more oils and it's going to build a more robust skin barrier. Again, especially when combined with other ingredients like biomimetic lipids. So combined, it provides a stronger barrier, which prevents, for example, moisture loss and protects against irritants and pollution and pollutants, which can contribute again to skin aging. Last, very interesting addition to the role neuropeptides play is a role in wound healing and the regeneration of skin cells. So they can actually increase the proliferation of keratinocytes, which are the predominant cell types in the most outer layer of the skin that we just talked about. And they can enhance the migration of these cells to areas of damage, which would speed up the wound closure and tissue repair. This doesn't only help maintain healthy skin, but it also ensures that the skin can recover effectively from injuries or, you know, treatments or, again, like sunburn, UV, etc. And this reaction of the skin is actually a vital function for maintaining a youthful appearance. So there is a maintenance aspect as well. Again, there's a reparative aspect, but also a maintenance aspect, especially when working with biomimetic lipids, very strong antioxidants. All of these things together play very nicely. So some practical tips on how to integrate these peptides. So as I said, these peptides really don't work in a vacuum. We need to use them in conjunction with products that actually call on collagen production or skin repair. And these are going to be the assistants for that product. So alone, it's kind of useless. We want to look for at least 2% in concentration, and most studies look at around 5% total, okay? Whereas in products, again, for example, like Youth Reset, Youth Daily, the new serum and cream that we launched that have spermidine, that have NAD precursors, that have, you know, enhanced resveratrol, it also has a peptide complex that combines GHKCU, copper peptide, and Argyrelin and Lufacil. So these are actually combined at a 10%. And the reason is that is a therapeutic dose. But we're combining, again, ingredients that stimulate renewal, stimulate collagen production, and we're supporting that with these peptides. Alone, peptides do extremely little. They're not a full recipe of how to have a younger looking skin. They should be really the third ingredient you should hear when a company is talking about their product. It's not going to be, if a company leads with a peptide, it is a very lacking product, if you would. And I wouldn't necessarily use this product. And that is why if you look at any Youngoos product, for example, let's talk about Care. So Care has, for example, Matrixyl 3000, has SNAP 8, which is very similar to argyrelin. So these are ingredients that normally we don't even talk about because we're talking about, you know, again, NAD precursors, we're talking about enhanced resveratrol. The peptides are coming third or even fourth after things like astragalus extract. And the reason is because alone, as I said, they do extremely little, but they are great force multipliers. So once we have those ingredients there, we're going to make sure that the peptides are at a therapeutic level to support that renewal. Also from a standpoint of not letting the skin kind of fall to the same patterns that of folding, of movement, that would kind of destroy the scaffolding that we're, the very delicate scaffolding that we're building with other molecules, but also because it helps us deal with inflammation and it helps us, it stimulates a little bit collagen production. It also rebuilds the uppermost layers of the skin. So all of those things together are very important. Alone, not as good. Okay. If you're looking for other, again, so if you want to buy product that has peptides, look for what these peptides are going to support. Okay. What is my main stimulant there? Is it, you know, vitamin C? That's obviously not ascorbic acid. Is it retinol, which normally products that have peptides are not going to have retinol. So we can use retinol and then use these products. And of course, you can use a product that has something like spermidine, which we now, looking more and more and more into it, we realize this is the best, most effective, most robust stimulant for repair, and matching it with copper peptide and neuropeptides. So we had a few questions that are around peptides and neuropeptides, and I wanted to answer them specifically for this podcast. So a legit question someone asked is that I don't want to do Botox. What is a better or a skin topical based product that I can use to kind of try to replace Botox? So the answer is that neuropeptides are not going to replace Botox. And there is no product on the market that would replace Botox from a standpoint of affecting your nerves in the same fashion. If you wanted to put a number on it, neuropeptides are going to give you between 10 to 20% of the effects that Botox does, alongside the fact that they are cumulative. So you could see some results after first application, but the main results come between, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of continuous daily use. There are also different places where we're going to use slightly different peptides, where around the eyes, for example, for crow's feet, we would recommend using SNAP8 as a kind of leading neuropeptide and combining it with GHKC, with copper peptide. And around the face, so thicker skin, we're recommending using argyrelin as a leading neuropeptide and then combined with other peptides that are more repair stimulants, for example, Matrixyl, like we use in Care, or GHKCU, like we use in Youth Reset and Youth Daily, Youth Reset Serum and Youth Daily Moisturizer. Another question was, I heard that there is a peptide that can reverse the skin's biological age. What is the evidence for it? Does it work like that? And the short answer is, peptides are incredible when we're looking at what they do to single skin cells or a colony of skin cells in a petri dish. What we're not taking into account is something that is called skin affinity. So how well do they kind of adhere to the skin and work within the skin in vivo? So when a person's walking around and obviously and living out their day, so in a live subject. So the short answer is that there is a lot that we still are waiting for to understand if these peptides can work like that, because there is a huge difference between applying them to a bunch of cells in a lab, which they don't need to go through the protective layer of the skin, few protective layers. They don't need to, you know, for example, our acid mantle can damage most peptides. Most peptides do not penetrate the skin very well. You know, BPC-157, for example, which is an incredible peptide when injected, or TB-500, are not, and BPC-157, by the way, does stimulate collagen production better than, for example, GHKCU. but it is extremely fragile. It's also big, so it's not going to actually absorb through the skin, but it's fragile and it's being basically demolished by your acid mantle in the skin. But if we applied it a petri dish of skin cells, we're going to see incredible results. So there is a huge difference there. That is, you know, years of studies to kind of see how these claims hold water. So it remains to be seen. We obviously are cheering for any skincare brand that is innovative. That's what we're here to do. But it remains to be seen. Okay. So this was the kind of neuropeptide episode that we have for you. Few key points, again, that we covered. First and foremost, you know, peptides, how they work. So they're a lock and key mechanism. They activate different processes in the skin. That's kind of the body's to-do list, if you will, is what is written by peptides or is expressed by peptides. Neuropeptides are acting mainly on nerves, mainly on the firing of nerves. So they cause muscle relaxation. They can enhance collagen and elastin production, mainly because they prevent ruining of newly deposited collagen. So they can help regulate inflammatory responses, and they strengthen the skin barrier to some extent. Because of that, because of these, you know, three points, they can also promote wound healing and regeneration. As far as practical tips, peptides in general and neuropeptides specifically shouldn't be the first ingredient you're looking for. You know, we're going to be in the biohacking conference in a few weeks, May 30th. The amount of people that come to our booth and see, you know, one of the signs says GHKCU. The amount of people that get excited because they see GHKCU there. And we kind of need to either re-educate them or not, depends on their vibe, is astounding, okay? So bear that in mind, okay? They do not work well on their own. They shouldn't be what you're looking for to begin with. And if you are, because you like the idea of those peptides, which is completely fine, you know, scratch that off your list, say, yeah, it has the peptide that I'm looking for. Now, what is going to make that peptide be effective? What's the other symphony of ingredients that are going to press all the levers in the skin that would allow the peptide to support the regenerative action? We answered a couple of questions. One was, a question about the efficacy of a specific peptide. And here we are at the end of this episode. So I really want to thank everyone that tuned in. It's very important for us to make sure that we can convey messages or we can cover topics that you guys are asking for. And that is one of them. So we're very happy to cover it. Again, if you haven't left a review, we would super, super appreciate it. Obviously, it warms our hearts. Obviously, it makes me feel amazing. But more than that, these reviews, these ratings that you guys provide allow the algorithm to understand this is valuable content, and it allows us to just reach more people, educate more people, change more people's lives through the way that they feel about themselves and their skin. So please do that. What you can do it also is ask questions. And I actually have a question. I forgot, but I have a question. That was a review I actually already read once, but this review asked a question about red light therapy. Obviously, this is one of the more popular topics, especially because I was an executive VP in a red light therapy company. So that also obviously makes it so more people ask about red light therapy. And this question is about the distance from red light therapy that someone needs to maintain. So the question, the entire review is the following. Love your podcast and skincare line. Perfect for the biohacker wanting to look her best at any age. Question regarding red light therapy for skin. There are so many different guidelines for how close the red light therapy panel should be from the skin for best results. Some experts say 6 inches. Others say 18 inches. The studies mostly use 6 inches. I have a platinum LED Biomax 300, which is, I would assume 300 refers to the total wattage of the unit, which means it's a smaller panel. Please advise, many thanks. So both are true. first of all, bear in mind, again, most studies on red light therapy are not necessarily in humans. Like when you want to measure chemical reactions, and it's very difficult to do while the person is in front of the red light therapy. So both are true. Why 6 inches? 6 inches is where there is basically an even coverage. If you're going to be closer than 6 inches, there is not going to be even coverage because the light bulbs are spaced apart and you're not going to get even coverage for the skin. It's going to be only where the bulb specifically is. So 6 inches, 12 inches, 18 inches, 24 inches are increments where the coverage is maximized. Now, why would some people say 6 inches? Why would some people say 18 inches? It's because at 6 inches, it's hypothesized that more photons are going to penetrate deeper past the dermal layer and kind of get into deeper layers of the skin. And it may be. What I would say is that I would actually alternate. And first and foremost, it's important to have dry skin. If your skin is damp for whatever reason, maybe also working out, maybe whatever the case may be, then you actually want to be a little bit closer because there's more friction between the photons and where they need to get absorbed. If you're interested only in skin results, you're not interested in volume, maintaining, you know, the volume, the fat, the subcutaneous fat in your skin, muscle tone, etc., then I would say 18 inches. So if it's mainly like hyperpigmentation, you're going to go to the sun afterwards and you want to make sure that you pigment less, 18 inches is great. If you're interested in overall health of your face, I would say go a little bit closer, maybe 12, maybe 6 inches, but both are not wrong. Both are great and going to give you great results. And I don't think there is a great difference between the two. I've gone back and forth between 6 and 18 inches. So maybe do 12 just to get it to take a middle ground. Anyway, again, leave us a review if you're so inclined, if you like it. If you don't like the podcast, please do not leave a review, okay? But if you like the podcast, leave a review. Even one word is highly appreciated. Rating, etc. Thank you guys very much, and we'll see you here soon.